Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Do call in with your questions, comments, concerns at 845-277-9406. Call in to Identity Theft of the Self with John Warren and Ellen Hartwell at 845-277-9406. Let's discover together what is the self. How do we use that inner unencumbered self to create the reality we desire? Call in, share your experience, 845-277-9406. And again, we welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. Welcome to Identity Theft of the Self. How are you this morning, Mr. Warren?
Oh my God, I'm great. I'm just terrific. I don't know why I'm surprised by that question though. Oh, she asked me a question. Oops, I'm great, and I am. I had a lovely Thanksgiving. It's Saturday morning. It is absolutely brisk in Southern California. It's kind of nice to have a little cold snap that we know will go away in an hour or two. So I'm good.
I am glad to hear that. I hope all of you who celebrate Thanksgiving here in the U.S. had a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving. And today on Identity Theft of the Self, our topic is the triumph of Thanksgiving. Now, that's kind of weird, and we'll get to that, but not quite yet. Because first we have to go backwards a little bit so we can go forwards. Oh, well, at least I do. I have to go backwards to go sideways, upside down, whatever. Anyway, gratitude is so important, and we've spent a lot of time on this, and I've come to understand, or I'm beginning to understand, that gratitude is an essential component of the authentic self, the self that isn't encumbered with race, mind, consciousness, what your friends think, what your neighbors think, what mommy and daddy told your brother, sister, whatever. In your authentic state, uninfluenced, unencumbered by those things, there is a natural well of gratitude that I believe we come in here to the world, the earth, with. And so that sense of gratitude, which is always waiting for us to tap into it, says, hi, how are you? What are you grateful for today? And we forget how to get there. We think, okay, I have to feel this great gratitude, or I have to have some extra normal connection with spirit or whatever. No. The key to the kingdom of gratitude is thought. The only way we get to our authentic self is to think. Get a hold of your thoughts and say, what am I thinking about? Oh, I'm thinking about how I've got this bill to pay and the dog just pooped on the floor and my girlfriend didn't call me today. And oh, wring my hands, worry, worry, sweat, cry, cry, whine, complain. And if that's how I'm thinking, there's no gratitude in that. So if I monitor myself gently, lovingly, and go, ew, those thoughts aren't very positive, and I go, okay, let me just take a moment. What am I thankful for? Well, I don't know. Well, I have 2 feet, and I can stand on them. I have shoes for those 2 feet. I even have socks for those 2 feet. Oh, clothing. I have food. I have shelter. I have loved ones. I have a wonderful dog. I have an amazing son. I am so blessed with so many things to be grateful for, things that I take for granted, like a washing machine. Thank you, God, for the washing machine, because, oh, I have to do laundry. Well, with our thoughts, we can be alchemists and change that, I got to go do the laundry, to thank God I have clothes to wash. Thank God I have a laundromat or a washing machine. Thank God I have detergent. Thank you, God, for these things. And pretty soon, as we start to say thanks, we access that natural part of us that is always in a state of gratitude, because we came in with that, in my opinion. And so in there, just waiting for us to access it, that wonderful sense of gratitude, the key to that well of gratitude is our thoughts. So if we look at what we're thinking about, pay attention to it, we can be alchemists and change those thoughts that aren't so positive into positive ones very quickly. And I know this gets dicey, and I know people get nervous, but there is nothing, we cannot give thanks for, even if our finite mind cannot understand the infinite. Because if I say, you know what, I know I'm supposed to be grateful for all, not some, all things, then I'm going to look at that and say, okay, right now, God, I can't honestly tell you that I'm grateful for that flat tire or some horrific world event or whatever. So I can't honestly say that, but I will fake it till I own it. And I'll say, I'll give you thanks for it, but you know I'm giving you lip service. And God goes, yeah, I know, that's fine, you're good. And in time and over time, little bits will float to the conscious mind about why you can have gratitude when you stubbed your toe or when you cut your finger carving the turkey. But it'll happen. You'll see that little things come up and start to illuminate those more negative places in our mind. So gratitude, how do we get to it? With thought. What do you have to say to this, John? Have at it.
Well, I'm always of the, not always, but often, Ellen, in these conversations, which I love, and I'm grateful for, in fact, that we have on Saturday mornings, of the go as far as you can and believe as much, take what you want and leave the rest is sort of, is my watchword. I don't know that I can be grateful, even give lip service to gratitude for everything. But what I can do is make sure and pay close attention to the things that I take for granted. Not for granted. That's a rock. For granted.
We just take that for granted, honey. Go ahead.
That's so funny. I didn't even mean to say that. I did, though. But take things for granted. The things that I take for granted that are just part of my life, and to sort of spend the moment and stay in the soup of gratitude. Stay in the warm vibration of gratitude. You're exactly right. And especially if you're on a spiritual practice and you're moving forward, because it just opens the doors. It opens the doors to what the next evolution is in your consciousness. I guess what I would say to anybody who's listening is that being grateful for everything is one of those intellectual, I will say where I am in my spiritual development is one of those intellectual exercises for me that I have a hard time with. And anybody who is practicing this, I don't think you have to do that now. You have to know, start paying attention to what you're grateful for now and go as far as you can for it. Because where I understand it intellectually is, what we're working on here finally is absolute understanding and faith in the reality that our consciousness was before we were incarnated in this body, and it will go on forever, and we are never done, and we are always evolving. Once you know that, and that's ingrained and in place, and it's the firmament with which you walk on, then all of this stuff actually becomes more tangible and easy. It's easy for me to go and say, oh, I understand, even though I don't see that event in its totality, I understand that there's some place in it, there's some manifestation, there's some evolution happening that we will all understand. But it's predicated on believing that I'm going to go on forever. Because if this life is finite, if this is all I get, then lots of things I'm not going to be grateful for. But if I'm going on and I'm learning and I'm expanding and I'm evolving and the world is learning and expanding and evolving, and we are all in this for the long haul, so to speak, it never ends, and we are constantly going back home, so to speak, again, then the truth is that it is all, I can be grateful for all of it, because it's all moving us toward where we need to be and moving me toward where I need to be, or toward an expanded version of myself, closer to glory, closer to evolution, I guess is what I want to say. Long-winded way of getting back to, I hope I didn't go off on too big a tangent here. If you're not there yet, and I'm there sometimes and sometimes I'm not, then the most important part of this spiritual practice right now is just to start being grateful for the obvious things. And when you're done with the obvious things, remember, start really paying attention to the gratitude you can experience. Feel for or sense or list or acknowledge for the things that are less obvious, you take for granted. Like my grocery store packs a beautiful little exactly right size watermelon. I mean, that sounds crazy, but I love watermelon. And I can just pop in there and get what amounts to a meal. And it sounds crazy, but actually that's sort of a big deal. That is sort of a big thing. Getting into the gratitude for the less obvious things. And again, there's a reason. I don't think it's maybe, is it because I'm, why is it that I need a reason why we're doing this all the time, though, other than happiness? But it makes life better. It makes manifestation easier. You become much better at mastering the art of manifestation if you stay in a state of gratitude.
That's true. And I also think there's great power in knowing that we are in control of that. If we manage our thoughts and we get better at it every day, if we practice it, then of course none of us, I don't know anyone, including myself, of course, who is always in a state of gratitude. And I'm not talking corny, smarmy gratitude. I'm talking about a state of mind that is grateful. And sometimes we have to really dig and really get a hold of our thoughts and dig to find something to be grateful for. But usually it has the domino effect. I am so grateful that I can walk. Many people cannot. And I am grateful that I can. Okay, that's a place to start. Or if you're wheelchair bound, God forbid, you're grateful that you can hear or see or speak. Or whatever your situation is, there's always something you can find that you can give thanks for, and there's great power in harnessing your thoughts, because we do not create the reality we desire unless we have our thoughts and our feelings and our vision pretty clear. We do create all the time, but I'm talking to consciously create and to create that which we desire. We need to use the power of our mind, our thoughts, to get us where we're going. And without gratitude, to me, we're a clanging bell. We're just, I'm talking the talk, but I'm not walking the walk if I'm not grateful. So when I notice that I'm not thinking from a grateful perspective, I just gently catch myself and say, okay, thank you, God, that the sun came up this morning, or thank you for that little kid playing outside with their ball and having a good time, or thank you for my callers, or thank you for the show, or thank you for my friends, whatever. But I find something to remind me that I am in control of what I'm thinking about, and I get better at that every day if I practice it. It doesn't just happen. Okay, I'm a grateful person. No, you're not. You have to get there, and as we practice, we get better at being a more grateful person, and I contend that nobody on this planet, anyway, is always in a state of namaste and gratitude and, oh, the singing birds and the blue sky. Oh, please. Of course not. But it is a goal to be mindful, full of mind, full of our thoughts, aware of them, and using our thoughts to harness this power of gratitude to create the reality that we desire. That's what I believe, John. It's a practice. It's not something we just do, or at least I don't, automatically, but it is worthy of going toward, because we do feel better when we're grateful. We're far more pleasant to be around when we're grateful. Our sense of humor is intact when we're grateful. And there's a bounce to our step. We have an energy about us that is very compelling. So that's why we do it. We don't do it because we should. We do it because there's a benefit.
Yeah, absolutely, Ellen. I love this. I know we have a break coming up, but I love the idea that we come in with a certain level of it. Like you put this idea forth in the opening part of the show today, that we come in with a certain natural gratitude, which I think is true. I mean, I sense is true, and I'd never heard it put that way before, and I actually really appreciate it. I really appreciate that. The other thing, it does this naturally, and then we'll take the break, but gratitude focuses you on goodness, and as you are quick to remind me and the people you work with and anybody else, God is the great multiplier, and if we are focused on goodness, more goodness multiplies. If we are focused on what's wrong multiplies.
That's right.
And with that, so gratitude is a natural tonic to turn your head toward what is good and focus on that, and then good multiplies.
That is
correct. And
we had
a break.
Correct. Yes, we're going to do a break, but that's correct. And as we get into the gratitude, we do feel better. And guess what? It does affect your health. It affects your outlook, your perspective, and yada, yada. We're going to get into in our next segment about the triumph of Thanksgiving, because it's all connected to this and the authentic self, and we will be right back. Have you visited AskMariaNow.info? You haven't? Why not? You should see her site. It's gorgeous. Maria is a psychic and intuitive tarot card reader. She is a Reiki master, and she gives the most detailed, beautiful, uplifting, honest readings. She is fantastic. Go book a reading with her now at AskMariaNow.info. That's AskMariaNow.info. She's really good. She's a friend of mine, yes, but she's also a superior reader, one of the best out there, in my opinion. So thank you, Maria, for being there for us. Triumph. Wow. You know, I spent some time with that word, and I don't hear it used very often. I do in sports a little bit, but as you know, John, I'm not a sports fan, but I don't hear people in everyday talk using the word triumph. And so if we boil that down and skim it off, triumph is a victory. It is achieving something that's important to us. And so if we have triumph, if we are triumphant, that is connected to gratitude and a sense of alignment with our God of our understanding, a sense of general well-being, because it doesn't come naturally to the conscious mind. The authentic self has gratitude, it has triumph and all these things, but we have to peel away the layers like on an onion to get to our authentic self, where how can you be so happy when all this is happening? Or how in the world can you feel triumphant when you've had this go on in your life or that go on in the world or whatever? Well, because within me is a sense of gratitude that I am mastering. I didn't say mastered, I said mastering, practicing every day. And when I feel like I've really accessed that and hit the apply button and talk about it and say what I'm grateful for, even if I'm just saying it to the dog, I'm saying it out loud because a spoken word is creative, in my opinion. I have a sense of triumph because I don't know anybody, John, maybe you do, but I don't know anybody who doesn't have a challenge or two lurking around. And so if we're grateful, we can feel triumphant that we have gratitude, even with the challenges that we're dealing with, that gives us that sense of triumph, that gives us that sense of can do. It gives us that sense of complete well-being because I'm triumphant when I'm grateful no matter what. And that sense of being triumphant is good for the mind, good for the body, good for the soul. And your friends will like it too because you're not all downtrodden and oh, poor me. Now, we should always include a warning in all of this stuff. It is a practice, it is a practice, it is a practice. And a lot of people may not quite get you. Because somebody will say something like, oh my God, you know, I had a fender bender. Thank God nobody was hurt. But I had a fender bender and now I've got to get my car fixed. And you go, oh yeah, those things are challenging. But hey, nobody got hurt. That's what counts. That's not what that person wants to hear in the moment. They want to hear about, oh my God, really? Oh, are you okay? What happened? All the drama of it. And if we're in gratitude, or at least practicing to be, we tend not to give that a lot of airtime. So you may be a little less popular, but you know what? It's worth it because you'll feel better, you'll manifest more quickly, and we do have an impact on those on our circle. And so people will come around to be maybe a little more grateful themselves. But your main focus is you, and make it a practice, because if you practice gratitude, you will also know the feeling and the thought of the word triumph What do you have to say to that, John?
Well, I just love the here's what it is. I think it's one of those words that has sort of fallen by the wayside for reasons, which are not worth unpacking here. But I think we need to use words that give us a sense of triumph, even if it's not that particular word, meaning the feeling that is evoked in me in the word triumph actually says exactly that. I have mastered mostly, not entirely, what's going on in my head, and now I'm directing it. I'm the master of my fate, my soul, and the directing. I'm triumphant over those things that held me back. And I would say on the danger here for me isn't necessarily because losing people along the way in this practice is actually the top. It's a great topic for an entire hour because anybody who practices this, or even just lives and evolves, even if they're not consciously practicing, law of attraction or evolutionary, new age thought or spirituality, even if they're not consciously spiritual, people come and go in our lives. But and I think it's worthy of an hour by itself. The thing to remember for me is that all, and you've hit on this in what you just said, all of this growth is emergent out of, and I'm going to say the word, humility, which the root is hamasar, it's earth, it's Greek for earth, which is the seed, the soil. It's Greek because, it's soil, it means soil, meaning with the things that you plant, and we plant all of this in humility, and you touched on it when you said, sometimes you're with people and you don't want to go right to gratitude because they want to be heard. What's happening in that moment when you talk about the fender bender is those people actually want to be witnessed and heard because they're in some sort of pain. And there's a way to compassionately engage without co-signing. And that's what you're talking about. But that moment is a moment of humility, actually. You can still be triumphant over your own demons and in gratitude while at the same time being coming from the seeds, the soil of humility at all times. Again, the only thing that creates, finally, is that soil of humility combined with what we plant into it. But we aren't the soil. We're the planters. And that's where we always stay humble. But exactly in that moment, staying triumphant, as it were, it just means that you've mastered. What that word means to me is that we have largely, not entirely, I haven't at all entirely, but largely mastered the bulk of what's going on in my mind all day. And man, oh man, oh man, gratitude greases those wheels and makes the process so much quicker. But again, I think it's important that we engage the circle that we're in from a place of consciousness and empathy if someone in our circle is having a hard time, because what they want to be, and we're the same way, I'm the same way. If I manifest something negative, either consciously or unconsciously, and I regret it, I don't want in that moment to be told, well, you can be, if I'm not there spiritually in that moment, if what I want is to be witnessed and to be heard, then in that moment, then that's the people I want in my life. Now, if I keep going back to it over and over again, then I'm just, that's another story. But I'm the same way, and I totally get your example, and I think it's an important example.
Well, and I think, of course, empathy is very important, and we all want to practice that, and I didn't mean to suggest that, somebody says, oh, my God, my grandfather just died, and you go, that is such good news. No. Of course not. Of course not. All of our listeners are smart enough to get that, but we do want to get to a place. We don't have to indulge drama, and we do want to get to a place where, even if we don't express it, on the inside, we're finding a way to give thanks. I mean, maybe Grandpa was very ill, or maybe Grandpa was a mean son of a rutabaga, or maybe he was the nicest guy that ever walked the planet, but it was just his time to go. And so we know, or at least I know in my faith, that wherever he went is a wonderful, good place. So inside I can be, oh, thank God, he transitioned, he moved on, he went to heaven, that's great. But to my friend, his grandfather died, I'm not going to say, wow, that is the best news I've heard all day. No, of course not. I'm going to say, aw, I know that's really tough. I have loved ones over there, too, and I know that's really tough, and I'll sit here with you. Do you want to talk? Is there anything I can do? And if you want my company, let me know. So, of course, but if 10 years from now they're still talking about how their grandfather died 10 years ago and they're in that same state of grief, they need some guidance and help, because that's pathologic grief. I won't get into all that, but we do want to be forwardly moving, and triumph keeps us moving forward. Even if we don't speak it out loud to somebody, on the inside, when you hear disastrous tales or whatever, well, you know what? On the inside, I'm giving thanks, even if my finite mind cannot understand it, because that is an act of faith. I don't pretend to have this down pat. Are you kidding me? It is a practice. I work on it all the time, because it's as easy for me as for anyone else to go get, oh my God, John, you know what happened? What? Oh my God, you wouldn't believe what she said to me, and this is what happened, and blah, 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 blah. And I want the people in my circle to say, okay, I get it, that would have hurt me too, or that would have made me mad too, and where's your practice, Ellen? That's what I want from my friends. But unless someone is doing this practice, you have to be careful, because you can offend people really easily. Again, your grandfather died. The worst thing you're going to say to your friend is, hey, that's great news. No, no. Of course not. Yeah. Common sense. Excuse me. 3 minutes before the break, John, sound off.
Sound off. I love that. Well, I agree. I mean, unless you are in relationship with someone who actually understands the reason why it's good news, Ellen, and why we can internally stay in triumphant, is because we know that consciousness comes in and consciousness goes out of this plane, and that whatever Grandpa is doing when he's gone on, he is doing it. He's on to something else. As President Carter said it brilliantly, when he's, you know, this is a very old man. He's lived a very long life. He's in his 90s, and said, you know, he's going to do the treatment. Because out of gratitude, you can feel it for living, having lived his life. And he said, I wonder what my next adventure will be. And that's where I know, and you know, internally, that doesn't mean that, you know, we run around sort of, you know, my boyfriend dumped me. Good, that's great. And it's like, because eventually it will be something that is great. And you know that, and I know that, we know it from the truth, we know it from practice. But in that moment, yeah, absolutely. And I would touch on this maybe after the break. We'll see. Eventually we do collect the people around us who do understand all that. And
that's right.
And do understand it because we're vibrating on the level, because vibration attracts vibration, and we're all vibrating on the same level. And we can be internally in a state of grace and triumph because we know that, and we're using the example of Grandpa passing away here, the loved one has moved on, that the loved one is still there, and the loved one has gone on to something else, and the party isn't over. It's just he's shifted it to another room. There are many rooms in my father's mansion, and you can internally know that. That doesn't mean that you don't continue to want your loved one in the same room with you, and you don't have to process it. And that we don't have to process it. I had this experience recently. I know what's happening. I have faith in it. I actually more than it is a bedrock belief for me. That doesn't mean that it doesn't startle me and scare me and throw me off when someone goes. When someone goes transitions before, I want them to, or think I want them to. And I have to process all that stuff. You process all that stuff with the abiding, and underneath that, the abiding faith, that life in its purest sense goes on. It just
That's
does.
Right. It does.
It absolutely goes on.
I believe it.
And Grandpa has gone on, baby, and he's doing other things in other areas.
Yeah, he's fishing in that pond he always wanted to fish on. We will be right back here on Identity Theft of the Self. We're going to take a quick break.
Did you know that you can easily get a hold of John Warren? Yes, you can. Go right to my site, EllenHartwell.com, and you'll find him there. Click on his very own page and have a good little chuckle because it's a funny page, and I'm not telling you. You have to go look at it. Anyway, John is not only a very, very talented psychic and will give you a phenomenal reading. He's also, as you know from listening to our show, extremely talented in helping you to manifest the reality you desire. He'll help you uncover patterns that are holding you back. He'll give you the skills, the affirmations, the guidance, so that when you look at your life, you'll say, I'm so glad I called John Warren. Thank you, God. Thank you, John. So get in touch with him today at EllenHartwell.com.
For sure. Do it. You know,
You
know, one of the things, John, that you've said for a long time and that I try to hit the apply button, is we don't have to mean it. You know, we say these affirmations, and in time, I know we do get so we mean it, but we start somewhere. So when we're giving thanks for something and we're really stretching to give thanks and we don't really mean it, it's okay to give thanks and not really mean it, because in time you will mean it. And if you don't really mean it, guess what? It is an act of faith in a power greater than yourself, or in science, or in the trees, or in the gnomes and the fairies. I don't care. But something, there's an energy within you and around you at all time that is greater than the sum of your parts. And you are actually thanking that power, that energy, your belief system, whatever it is or is not for that matter, because in that there is a true gratitude that you will access by pretending to be grateful for a situation. And we're going to give you some examples here, listeners, because I need them. I can't just listen to this crap and not that it's crap, but that I have to have an example. Sometimes it feels like crap, honestly. I mean, when I first got into this, I thought, okay, this is so much baloney. This person needs to open a deli. They're so full of baloney. I can't stand it. And Law of Attraction and The Secret and yada, yada, blah, blah. And I'm like, and you know what? It's not my cup of tea. Just isn't. But I stretched. And I said, okay, I've been a Christian since I can't remember. I believe Jesus is the Son of God and my best friend. And so, okay, let me stretch my spiritual self a little bit, just a little bit to see. And I'm not going to go into details here, but I was flat broke. And when I say broke, I mean I had nothing. And so I started this practice, and I gave thanks for my debt. I gave thanks that I didn't have money. I gave thanks that one job had tanked and I started another. I just, and did I mean it? Of course I didn't mean it. I was frantic. I was, what the am I going to do here? And so, but I started giving thanks. And I had more experiences, and I won't bore you with them, but I had more experiences like, okay, I'm throwing my jeans into the wash and there's a $20 bill there. And at that point in time, that $20 was like $2,000. And yeah. I'm like, I know that wasn't there. Now, whether it was or not, I didn't think it was there because I was counting my nickels, never mind a $20 bill. And I found money outside, just out of nowhere, and things. Why? Because I was giving thanks for what I knew was mine. I just didn't have it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept it in the now, and I said, I have plenty of money. I have no debt. And I used the resources that I needed to help me manage the mess that I had created, and I gave thanks for the whole shebang. And now it's a very different picture. Did it happen overnight, ladies and gentlemen? No, but I kept at it. The only failure is to quit, and I didn't quit, and I kept going. And the only reason I kept going was because I had nothing to lose and everything to gain, and I wanted something. I wanted a better life for me and mine. And so I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I practiced, and I could give you examples out the wazoo. Email me if you want them. I'll bore you with them. But I'll tell you that it works, and it works because you keep at it, and it works because little by little these little fireflies of faith start coming up. Like, wait a minute, I affirmed that, and wow, look at that, this happened, and look, there's this. It's like putting Legos together. You get this piece of the manifestation and that over here, and you start putting them together, and pretty soon, oh, wow, this stuff works, and then it gets exciting. And I do believe that, John. Oh, my goodness, turn that off.
Turn what off?
That noise.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. What noise?
Okay, I heard music. But anyway, so...
Oh, okay.
John.
I'm nervous.
Yeah,
what'd you say?
We can hear you. We can also see you, as I was telling you in the green room. You don't think we can see you because you're on the radio, but we can.
You can't see me.
Yes,
don't make me nervous, because I don't want you to be able to see me right now. Early on Saturday in Los Angeles. So
okay, so yes, okay. I'll try to behave.
First of all, I just want to point out that you're so good at certain things. Alan, one of them is fireflies of faith. What a great phrase. I'm going to note it. Having said that, I guess, you know, my addition to this segment is, I think that you start from wherever you are and you keep the practice going. And I love your example, and I have myriad examples like that that are similar to that. What's interesting about this is eventually you do believe it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, that eventually there is feeling behind it. Eventually there is a movement. And the initial, you found the $20 in the pocket, you're doing your laundry, and that $20 is the equivalent of $2,000 when you're in a position like that. That's absolutely the truth. It's not that it was there or it wasn't there. It's that all of it is there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that we're learning here. And all of the opportunities or the missed opportunities, all of the $20 bills and all of the jeans in all of the universe are available to us right now if we have eyes to see. And what you started doing, Ellen, and I same thing, I've done it twice with places I wanted to live, but I say quite literally, in giving thanks for where I was that I wanted to leave. And when I started, it was like, I hate it here. I hate that. I'm sick of being here. I don't want to be here anymore. Okay, but I'm thankful for the sink. I'm thankful for this.
Exactly.
And it's true. I mean, I was. Oh, yeah, I'm grateful for the sink. Actually, it's true. I'm glad I have a sink
yes.
in the kitchen. There you go. And at the same time I was doing that, I actually printed out a map of where I wanted to be, exactly the neighborhood, and I circled it. And I'm doing the thing, and that we're talking about doing. And, I know what you heard. Okay, wow, my computer just redoing it. Okay, forgive me. I just looked at it.
I'll forgive you this one time.
I'm not on the computer, but it just, I don't know what happened. Okay, sorry about that.
This one time.
This my one out. Are you going to fire me?
No, but I'm going to make you stand in the corner for 5 minutes and say what you're thankful for 5 minutes.
Well, if you could really see me, you could see that I already am in the corner. So there.
No. Fly out there and videotape it.
All right. Let me finish my thought, Ellen Hartwell.
Yes. Allow it.
Is one morning, then, and this is, sometimes I'm a little weird with the examples because they become to feel like magic tricks, but they're not, this isn't a magic trick. One morning, I woke up and there was something in my head that said, go look on Craigslist. This is absolutely a true story. And I did at rentals or the housing area, and there was a situation that was absolutely within my budget. It was within it was dead center in the circle I had made on the map. Not only was it on the map in the place that I had circled, it was dead center. Now, it took about 2.5-3 more weeks to finish that deal, but it did, and I did. I broke the chains of the momentum behind a lot of things that I needed to change. And interestingly, I don't live there anymore. It turned out to be, it was an interesting, like, I didn't put everything into the treatment that needed to be put in there, but what it did was, and talk about being grateful in retrospect, was break this sort of hypnotism I had about where I had been for over a decade. And I knew it needed to be broken, and it was very, I had a lot of momentum of negativity behind being stuck there and having no way out. But honestly, it was absolutely a practice. I am grateful for this time. I'm grateful screen door that I can open for the dog that is ugly. And I am grateful, you know, and I'm grateful I can, you know, and things, you know, I started, but eventually it was like I saw that the place that I was in that I wanted to leave, I actually saw that it had served a great purpose for me. And that's probably in retrospect the moment when I was able to spiritually let it go and be unstuck. And probably, and I don't know what the timing is. Who knows what the timing is? I think it could happen overnight. I think it could, depending on how evolved we are or how quickly, even unconsciously, even if we're not conscious of where we want to go, sometimes things happen in the twinkling of an eye. And that usually means, in retrospect, I can look back and say, oh, I had been unconsciously working on that manifestation for a very long time. That is an embedded pattern, or it's an embedded pattern that I have, or it's something that's relatively easy for me to work on. Because we all have stuff that's good, that challenges us more than other stuff in terms of moving our lives forward. And now I'm nervous that my computer's going to make a noise, Alan. See what you've done?
That's right. I'm
walking away from
responsibility. I'll take responsibility for your computer. Okay. Sure.
Sure. It's you manifested that noise. Oh, no, I can't. I have to put a code in for it to start again, so I'll skip it until the end of the show. I turned it off by accident. If that makes sense, circling back, if that makes sense, is that that's the biggest example I can say recently where I faked it till I made it on the gratitude around something that I really didn't like. And it allowed me to release it. And it did take. I will say it wasn't overnight at all in terms of that. That took a practice of a few months. Now, a few months seems like a long time in the beginning of a manifestation. It ain't. In retrospect, it was, given how much momentum of negativity I had unconsciously invested in that, and I didn't mean to. I'm a smart guy. I have a spiritual practice, but, you know, we all have stuff that we're unconscious of, and I was unconscious of that, a kind of poverty consciousness about that place that I was in. But eventually it became a thing. It became something that I see the purpose this has served, and now I can treat because I know the purpose it has served is over. Does that make sense? Before I was conscious,
yes.
Before I practiced gratitude, I didn't know. I couldn't be clear about the purpose it was served. It was just an albatross. It was a millstone. But then I went, I this actually was movement for me. I understand this situation in this neighborhood, all of it was about, and I was grateful for it. Yeah.
Well, right, and it is that gratitude. And sometimes you're right, John. We don't see the gratitude until later. That's okay. That's okay. And we want to be nice to ourselves. We don't want to be harsh with ourselves about this or, oh, I should really be at this place or that place. Well, maybe you are and I'm not. You know, and some people have been doing this since God was in Pampers, so it's second nature to them. I haven't been. I know that. And so it's new for me. And what's exciting about this practice, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you something, is that if you practice it every day, guess what? Exciting. And it gets much easier. It just does. It gets much easier to do. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. And the more you'll see the benefit of doing these practices. And it's not that we're saying, oh, it's so easy, and if you do this 3 days from now, you'll have that Maserati. No, but it means you're getting into the groove of something that will bring you what you want in and over time. Okay, we're taking our last break. We will be right back here on Identity Theft of the Self. Maria and I offer twice-seen readings on my website, ellenhartwell.com. Click on the tab, order your reading, and Maria and I will read for you together. It sounds confusing, but actually there's a real flow to it. Maria gets her perspective, I get my perspective, and we get an in-depth, insightful view into whatever your questions are. Twice-seen readings are not only informative, they're fun. So talk to two clairvoyance today. Go to ellenhartwell.com and click on the Twice Seen Reading tab. And besides, they're funny as all get out. You should hear me and Maria. Oh, dear goodness. Anyway, oh, my. We have a good time, and so will you. Twice Seen Readings, yes. Here we are in Identity Theft of the Self. We are talking about the triumph of Thanksgiving. And believe me, as you start to do this and you start to manifest stuff or see the beginnings of manifesting it and so forth, it is exciting. And within you, and I really get these images, John, I know I'm a little crazy. Okay, a lot crazy. But my inner being, which I'm only just beginning to scratch and sniff the surface of, is just waiting to be found out, waiting to be discovered. And it's like solving a mystery. Okay, I know you're in there, so let me go this way. Did that get me there? Yeah, a little. But wait, let me try gratitude. Let me try thinking positively. Let me try challenging myself in some way. Let me try by getting my health better. Let me try by just giving thanks when I don't feel like it. Let me start my day, whether I want to or not, with a prayer or a meditation or some kind of mindfulness exercise. Let me do that, because within myself is something waiting to be discovered, brought up into conscious mind, where I can then use what I learn to create the reality that I want to create. And that makes it exciting. And guess what? Yeah, you're going to consciously create dumb stuff. And you're going to consciously do things that are like, okay, did I really just put the milk in the cupboard and the cereal in the refrigerator? Yeah, you did. So what? Forgive yourself, get things sorted out, and keep at it. You know that old saying, and it's so true, try again. If at first you don't succeed, okay, so what? Try again. I am not someone that doesn't get it, because I have to try again. Oh, let's see, on a really good day, probably 20 times, probably more. But the thing is to keep at it, because you'll start to feel better. Your attitude will be better. You'll be less enraged. You'll be less resentful. Your health will improve. All of it. Why? Because the mind is a very powerful, been given, and we're little kids trying to figure out, how do I use this amazing thing I've been given? And that's what identity theft of the self is all about. When you take away what other people think, when you take away all the race mind consciousness, when you take away what the media bombards us with, and we get to our authentic self, that authentic self is grateful, is loving, is kind, is patient, is inquisitive, is very warm, very forgiving, very gentle, and strong and solid as the rock of Gibraltar. I'm here to tell you, because why? I've had glimpses. I'm not there. Are you serious? Of course I'm not. But I've had glimpses, and it keeps me going on this practice, because I want some more glimpses at that self that came into the world untouched, unstolen from. There's a word, unstolen. I like that. Unstolen from. What do you have to say to that, John?
Well, I think it's true, Ellen. It's more than glimpses too. Once you start practicing, I mean, you—I know you've had more than glimpses. I've had. We have glimpses into the eternal sort of glory that we, which is our natural state. I think that is glimpses. But you start practicing this stuff, and start with gratitude. start with gratitude and go right to and go to, you know, what it is that you're, what is it that you want to bring into your life? I don't want to say the word want. It seems very base to me. But what do you want to bring into your experience? What do you want to experience now? And is it a Maserati? We always say Maserati. I don't even know what a Maserati is. Is it a nice car?
No, honey. That Maserati is that really cute guy who lives two houses down from me.
All right. So you want the Maserati. All right, you go and get that. I support you. Go for it. You tell me how that goes.
Okay.
Whatever it is that you're going on, you know, whatever it is that you want to, the experience you want to bring into your life, you know, start with gratitude and move into, you are that person already. And again, one of the things that I think is important is the flow and the understanding that you will have, if you start this practice, you will have evidence rapidly. And what I mean by evidence, for example, that $20 in that jean pocket, that was evidence, Ellen. You decided, you made a decision, oh, I'm not going to be the poor person anymore. I'm done with it. I'm done with poverty. I'm done with my debt. I'm going to say thank you for the experience of it, even if I don't feel it. I'm going to pretend. I'm going to fake it till I make it. The evidence, now that's not a final manifestation because you can't live the rest of your life on $20 that you find in your jean pocket, in your pants pocket. But it was the first evidence, oh, yeah, no, the universe is now winking, is now reflecting back to you your decision to change. And keep that up. So it's not the final manifestation, whatever it is. It is the marker along the way. Oh, yeah, you've changed your mind in a very basic sense. And so you are moving in a different direction, and there will be evidence rapidly. And that will build and inspire the next piece of evidence. Some of the stumbling blocks with myself and with people that I work with is that we confuse the initial evidence with the manifestation, with the final manifestation, or the opposite of that being we don't actually see. We go, oh well, it's only $20. It's like, oh no, it's not only $20. It is proof. That your bad thinking is in remission and your good thinking is growing. It's proof. And you go, oh, thank you for this $20. And then what we focus on multiplies and then it becomes $40 or whatever it is that you are looking at. But note, please note, this is not mystical, hard, you need to go to the gym for a year to see any results kind of practice. This is something you can stop listening to me right now and doorknob. What? Well, it opens the door and it closes. Yeah. So, I am thankful for that. I can start with that and go, oh, immediately my vibration is going in a different direction. And then I can keep that going and extrapolate further and keep practicing this. And it becomes the life that I want to live, but the life that I want to live is actually turns out, ironically. Is it ironic? I don't know if it is. It turns out to be not the destination. The life that I want to live is actually the conscious life of manifestation because it's fun, because it's helpful, because it's raising my vibration, it's raising other people's vibration. It isn't actually the thing that I wanted that I'm after, which is interesting, an interesting twist. But if you need to start with the thing that you want, a new refrigerator, start with that, but I can't afford it. Okay. Start imagining being the person who has the refrigerator that you want. What does that feel like? Start saying thank you for the refrigerator that you have. And start there and go for it. And then you become that person who owns that refrigerator. And the refrigerator just shows up. In other words, Ellen, you became the person instantaneously who had an extra $20. And so the $20 showed up. It was already there, or it wasn't already there. Who the hell cares? But you became that person who was, oh, okay, I'm worth $20 internally more than I was 5 minutes ago. And that keeps going. If you really want to know the secret of sort of abundant manifestation, talk to people who abundantly manifest. What they always do is they always know it's going to happen. Oh, no, I knew that, you know, I have a friend who says, oh, I just knew a wall of money was coming at me. I just knew it. I have another friend who's quite wealthy who said, I don't know, there was something that shifted, and I just knew I would always have enough money, and it just grew and grew and grew. And that changed. It changed. Instead of striving and working toward money, he became a person who always had enough money. Become that person, and the money will show up, or the thing, or the Maserati, or the guy down the street. And you don't need to hammer away. Maybe you can't have the exact guy, but you can have the attributes of the guy down the street. I don't know what the guy down the street's actually up to in this lifetime. It may include you, Ellen, and it may not. But you can have someone just like him if you want.
John,
there is someone here.
John,
There's
no guy down the street.
I know.
But nonetheless, I think, yes, we will, our manifestations, as it says in the book, Super Beings, it'll come back to us as a masterpiece. Now, that masterpiece may have a gold frame around it instead of a silver one, but it's a masterpiece and will bring you extra joy and extra Thanksgiving. We want to bookmark the times when we've been most delighted, most elated, most grateful, most happy, most enthusiastic, most optimistic. We want to bookmark those times so that when we, as at least I know I do, but when we kind of go, ugh, I'm in the dumps, we can just gently nudge ourselves back to that place where we were so happy and elated and excited and yada, yada, blah, blah. Because as we remember those times, guess what? It gets multiplied. And so when we're not feeling so wonderful in one way or another, we can go back to a place where we did feel that way, remind ourselves of those feelings, pick up that bookmark, and then gently give thanks for those times. And that can help us to give thanks for whatever's going on now. Yes, no, maybe, sort of.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Getting Ernest Holmes would say get into the spirit of the thing, and which is what you mean, is bookmark, or in an acting school situation, you call it your emotional memory, bookmark, emotionally bookmark those things when you're enthusiastic. And again, we can induce these states in our practice to move forward. And again, also just, you know, consciously, moving into, oh, I know, I'm grateful for that, and I know I'm the person who... fill in the blank. I could tell you, I'll give you another example. I'm not going to name names, but I know a movie star. I knew a movie star, especially in my youth, who was a bartender sort of the moment before he became a television star, actually, and an actor. And years later, I heard him say, and he said it to me in a room with some other people, I just sort of knew all along that I would be famous in this arena. I knew it. Meaning he was that person. When he was tending bar, he was already that person. And he knew it. There wasn't striving. There wasn't a question. And gratitude is a most wonderful avenue for moving into knowing you're the person who, and fill in the blank, is in a loving monogamous relationship with a person who's perfect for you. I am a person who has a home in Malibu. Fill in, you know, whatever it is. I am that person who has an expansive, wonderful home. I am the person who travels around the world. But what does that person feel like? And become that person. And yeah, if you have to fake it, fake it. And also note this, we're winding down. Sometimes I have done this and practiced it and gotten close to the thing and went, oh, I actually don't want to be that person. That was a holdover from earlier in my life, and I'm done with that. And that it's perfectly fine to switch out what we're working on in the middle of it. In fact, it's a sign of progress. It's a sign that you're on the right track, usually. And be grateful for this day and this moment, and be grateful for whatever's in front of you, and it will expand because you're tilting your head toward what is good, and what is good will multiply.
Yeah, and we're all houseplants. We have a natural tendency to lean toward the sun. So let's develop within ourselves, become aware of that existing state in ourselves that leans toward the sun, leans towards joy, leans toward, and we get better at it every day if we practice it. We are going to have to end the show in a moment. We thank you so much for listening to our show, Identity Theft of the Self. We will be back next Saturday, same time, same place. And we're going to be talking about, I don't know, but it'll be exciting and interesting. Not sure where this is taking us, but we'll be talking about it.
Maybe we should talk about what we don't know.
I think
how to work with it.
I think we should. Let's talk about what we don't know. Okay, we're a little crazy here, but we appreciate you. Have the best week you've ever had, listeners. Bye. Bye, John.
Bye.